Greetings from Podcastville. The Church of What's Happened Now is brought to you by Zip Recruiter. Listen, hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/church. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the right people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. You understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, hiring is tough enough. And right now, the church family can try ZipRecruiter for free. You heard that right. Free, right now. Right now. Go on. ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church. Church, C-H-U-R-C-H. Robinhood is an investment app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. You discover new stocks, you trade your favorite companies, and you get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right movement to invest. Now, again, Robinhood is giving the church family free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Again, Robinhood is giving our listeners, the Church of What's Happening Now, a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. What I want you to do is sign in at church.robinhood.com. Let's get this party started. Kick that mule, Lee. Oh, shit. You motherfuckers thought it was going to be a dead Thursday. Not really, you bad motherfuckers. We're going to cover the Oscars, flavor,
yeah,
music, the Yankees. Here we go.
Come on, Joe.
Kick this mule, Lee. Put the V up for this shit.
Come on, turn that motherfucker up.
Let's go. Blow this motherfucker up.
Uncle Joey's bringing it. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Get down, baby.
And you motherfuckers thought it was going to be a ho-hum day.
Oh, yes! Take me back, Joe! Fuck this time today. Oh, shot!
There's no place left to go.
Woo!
Here we go. Houston, I'm coming, cocksuckers!
Joey, baby.
Up, down.
Come on, Lee.
One more shot.
Yeah.
Cause I love you. You know that it's real. If you feel that it's real.
One more shot.
It's worth nothing. Yeah. There's no place left.
Uncle Sam's Long Island, baby.
Look at you. Was that the roller skating rink where you and your little buddy?
Nah, it's a disco, baby.
Did you ever roller skate?
Yeah, hot skates, Lindbrook, Long Island.
No shit.
Yep, I used to wear spandex pants.
No, you didn't. How old were you?
Feathers coming out of my ass.
How old were you?
My father was like, what the fuck? I was like 17. I couldn't roller skate for shit.
Both the bitches.
Yeah.
That's what they
but
were.
But I had a girlfriend.
At 13, 14, you had a roller skate. No, a little younger. I only roller skated like 3 times, and that was it for me. It was like a, she was a chick that wanted to go on Sundays, and I went with her a couple times.
I'm gonna tell you, if you could go backwards, man, that was the ticket.
I could go backwards. We used to hold lines.
Oh,
and
you
go
did?
Backwards and frontwards.
Oh.
And you'd push off. But I still remember the most. I saw a guy fall off. I saw a guy fall and his wig fall off. And people roller skating over his wig.
Oh,
and he's trying to put
God.
It on his head.
Wait, you're saying people, it was definitely you. You were one of those people,
no,
right?
I was sitting on the side minding my own business.
Yeah.
Talking to like 3 guys, like the way we are right now,
business.
Just looking at the girls roller skating.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this guy was dancing and shit, and I couldn't even tell. He had a rug up, he had a rug on, and all of a sudden, he went down, and the rug came off, and somebody roller skated over the rug, and he tried to grab it. And
oh, shit.
And then he went to put it on, but the tape. It was on backwards, so the sideburns were coming down. He looked like fucking...
where was this? New Jersey?
This had to be like the... When we were kids, we used to roller skate. I like to say it was Paramus. I'd like to tell you it was Paramus, but I don't know what the fuck it was. Like I said, it was the 6th grade.
Yeah.
7th grade.
this place, Hot Skates, is still there in Long Island. I actually did Kevin Can Wait, an episode with Kevin James, ironically, like a year ago. And I did a scene. I was running a hot skate rink with Leah Remini at Hot Skates. I could not freaking believe it.
And the Scientologists are chasing you?
Yeah, yeah, they were. Whatever. But I mean, it was funny. I'm like, I fucking used to go here with my girlfriend. I grew up here at Hot Skates, and here I am filming a scene 30 years later, you know, with Kevin and Leah. It was like weird. I'm like, ah, this is unbelievable. Right near Rockville Center, where I went to high school, St. Agnes Cathedral. It's my old stomping grounds, man. Merrick Boulevard. It was Merrick Boulevard and Sunrise Highway, Long Island, Lynbrook, Valley Stream, Rockville Center. I lived in Rosedale, which was like right on the borderline of Queens, and then Long Island started in Nassau County. Fucking weird, man. Couldn't believe it.
I forgot about roller skating until I saw Brett Ernst did a bit about it, and they took me back. Like, I was in the original room, and he was starting to do it. I'm like, oh, shit. I forgot all about that. I went roller skating, yeah. And the guy with the wig. And
it's cool, but there's something cool about it. It's almost like the drive-in movie theater. Like, imagine bringing that shit back. Imagine somebody bringing the drive-in. You remember the drive-in movie theater? It was fucking wild. You put the radio in the window. The whole family would go in the station wagon and hide under a blanket. It was fucking great. You know, some of those things that were so, you don't realize how special they were till when you look back and you go, wow, roller skating.
What movies did you see the drive-in? I still remember one movie.
Oh, we saw Warriors.
Nah.
Yeah, Warriors.
I saw Five Fingers of Death at a drive-in off of Route 3 in Clifton.
Wow.
Somebody recently, maybe about 9 months ago on Facebook, said, Joey, you ain't shit unless you remember this. And it brought, like, sent me a message and said, tell me what you know about this or something like it. Like, right. Said, what do you know about this, bitch?
Right.
And I was like, dog, I saw Five Fingers of Death. I saw probably 4 top-notch movies there that I cannot remember because there had to be something with shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
Because my stepfather would take me there and we'd put the box in the window. Then after 45 minutes, you had to turn the car on because the windows would get fogged up.
Right.
So every 45 minutes, you had to turn the car on. I still remember that thing.
You have any memory of how much the drive-in movie theater was? Like, I was too little, so I don't remember. Like,
no, it couldn't have been a lot.
It couldn't have been a lot, right? But they charge popcorn. You by the head? They charge you by, like, a lot of times they used to, like, hide us under the blankets.
Right, they would put us in the trunk.
Yeah, they put us in a trunk or some shit.
I'll tell you what else I saw at the drive-in movie. Grease.
Grease.
Grease, I saw at that drive-in movie. Because that's the one we snuck a bunch of Puerto Ricans in the trunk. In fact, I was one of them. We went in 3 in. It was like 4 for $5.
There's actually a scene in Lords of Flatbush, which is a really good underrated movie that Stallone did with Perry King.
Oh, my God. Tremendous.
And there's a scene with Perry King. He's trying to get with Susan Blakely at the Sunrise Drive-In where we went as kids in Valley Stream. It's that drive-in theater. You watch that movie and you see he's getting on her pants and she's this uppity girl.
Now, The Lords of Flat was
a good movie.
Before fucking Rocky.
It's before Rocky. That's I saw it in the movie.
I saw that in the movie theater.
And I didn't know. And
then that, American Graffiti, all had come out at the same time.
But it was an underrated.
Right. Nobody.
Really, nobody. And Henry Winkler.
And he stuck out.
Stallone stuck out.
The diamond scene when he goes in and tells the guy.
Yeah, when he goes in there.
And tells the guy. The diamond.
Right.
About, but for
that
the
you
wedding.
Made the mistake.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Then he goes outside and he goes, did I do it? You know?
Right. And then they did a rip-off movie on that.
Of what? The Lords of Flatbush?
Yeah. In 79.
I don't know.
And the kids, remember the line in the movie was, leave.
No, that's not a rip-off. That's a good movie.
What was the name of that movie?
No, that's not a rip-off.
What was the name of that movie?
I know, Leave the Kid Alone. That's a good movie.
What was the name of the fucking
I'll tell
movie?
You in a second. I'm like, I met the director.
80.
No, it's a great movie. What the fuck? What is wrong with my memory? I talked to Sandler about Lords of Flatbush, and Adam loved that, and he loved this movie, too.
That,
the one we're talking about, Leave the Kid Alone.
Not Porky's, but...
No, not Porky's. It was a book, and it's a good movie. It's all about these gangs in New York.
Yes.
The Chinese gang, Italian gang, the black gang.
I had a buddy who was a nitwit.
The Wanderers.
The Wanderers.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fucking good movie.
That's a great movie.
And the guy that made the film, I met him, I auditioned for him. I forget his name. He's a good filmmaker. Oh, Kaufman. I believe Phil Kaufman. And it's a good movie. Oh, it's Ken Wall, man. He was Ken Wall.
Yeah.
He was a leading man. He was a wise guy and a big Italian guy. Leave the kid alone. Yeah.
Ken Wall, I think Ken Wall was great in Fort Apache, the Bronx.
Yeah, he was young. With
Paul Newman.
Danny Aiello.
The Mexican chick from Man on Fire.
Yeah.
Who never changed. She was the hot nurse at the fucking...
That's a good movie, Fort Apache.
If you haven't seen Fort Apache, the Bronx guys...
You need to see these movies. The Wanderers, Lords of Flatbush.
Oh, my God. I just remember the whole different genre of movies.
These are all good movies.
Fort Apache, the Bronx was Miguel Pinero's.
Miguel Pinero. There was a movie called Short Eyes. You ever seen Short Eyes?
Short Eyes. Miguel Pinero wrote that in prison.
Miguel Pinero wrote that, I think.
Yes,
in prison. And they're in prison.
And then they did a play about it with De Niro.
And they did a play.
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, but that was the guy, Ray Pavard, who wrote that.
Yes.
And then he died of
HIV.
HIV. He was a drug.
Amen.
Because John did a play called La Puta Vida.
Right.
And Nijinsky choked. He was in these Spanish plays. And I saw John Leguizamo make his debut. And De Niro did the other play, Cuba and His Teddy Bear. With Ralph Macchio.
Macchio, right.
And I met that guy, Ray Pavard. And he was an interesting Puerto Rican guy from the Lower East Side, I think, you know. And great writer. Great writer. And... He died, you know, very young, but man, I mean, the guy could write. There was a guy, Michael Carmine, who could act his ass off. He also died. He was in that group. I saw him come on stage and do a monologue. My fucking shoes were blown off my feet. I said to my brother, who is this guy? Who is at the Public Theater? Because John was great. And then the Coen brothers saw that, and they got inspired. That's why they wrote that guy where he plays the Jesus in that movie, the Big Lebowski. Yeah, so he plays that Puerto Rican pedophile guy. It was based on a character he did in Ray Pavard's play. That's where they got the idea of that character, the Jesus, that my brother did in the Big Lebowski. That's right. So you go back, Short Eyes, and then that was Miguel Pinero, and then Ray Pavard wrote these plays that... That's the one play De Niro did. He never did many plays. Then I saw John do these plays at the Public, and that was Ray Pavard. And this other guy, Michael Carmine, great actor, man.
Miguel Pinero pretty much wrote Miami Vice.
I think he had a lot to do with it. There are guys that don't get the credit.
No.
You know, I know.
He just didn't have the ideas.
Right.
What's his name was
Michael
there.
Mann
Michael
took
Mann
it.
Was there, took
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know that even with about a friend of mine who had a lot to do with, you know, Chaz Palminteri. You know, he basically like wrote Mike Starr, Bo Starr, you know, these guys. And this guy, Frank Renzulli, great writer, kind of like helped him write. Or develop, like, you know, they were outraged when he got a deal and all this shit, but they helped Chaz and all this shit, and then, you know, Chaz knocked them out or whatever. You know, there's always stories like that where guys didn't get their, you know, they had a lot to do with it, but they weren't the lead guy, and then they got shunned, you know? So probably he was like that kind of guy. I remember watching, it was a double feature. I think it was Short Eyes and something else. It might have been a Scorsese movie. And I just remember seeing that was a long time. You saw that, right?
What's that?
Short Eyes.
A long time.
Yeah, probably hard to find.
And they did a play.
Yep.
That was a play also.
Probably.
When he got out of prison.
Because he was a playwright too, right?
Yeah, that's all.
Like this other guy, Ray Pavard.
They did a movie about Miguel Pinero, and it's
what was that called?
Nuts.
Who played him?
Benjamin Bratt.
Benjamin Bratt. Nice guy.
He tried to.
How did he do?
Was he
deep enough to play him? I don't know.
Yeah. He tried, yes, no.
Yeah.
Unless you really knew him and knew that.
These
time.
Were like hardcore Puerto Rican
these
guys.
These were hardcore Puerto Rican
from like the 70s.
That were junkies.
Right, junkies.
And they financed their junk through doing what the Fourth Wall does. Like, they would put together a small theater.
Right.
Put plays, and then they all had problems. And they would set up these fucking things, and there was always... Like three of them were junksters, but one of them would always at least show.
Right.
But they always had to go hunt the other one down. You know, with New York in the 70s, that junk destroyed. I saw that junk. The guy that turned me on to Richard Pryor was a Puerto Rican junkie.
Right.
His younger brother took me to his house, and he goes, bro, my brother's going to come out of the room. Don't be scared. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought he was like a monster or something.
Right.
And we're sitting there listening to the Beatles. I'll never forget that. Never forget that day. It's like in my head. Like he.
Because they were so hardcore, right?
Hardcore.
Yeah.
That heroin took those poor Puerto Rican kids in the Bronx off. When I was a kid and my mother had the dry cleaner, I would see people nodding everywhere. New York City was the nod capital of the country. You're saying, what's nodding? When people are falling asleep right in fucking front of you.
Wow.
And they would fall asleep on the streets. You know, that scene when American Gangster, when they're driving down the street and they show those zombies.
Right.
I still remember that little window in New York.
Yeah.
There was a little window, and then everybody went on methadone, and they got worse for a while.
Right.
But this is 73 to 77, when those guys were running things. They were really, and they were brilliant. Pavad, Miguel Pinero, they all had that.
They had the genius in them.
That genius. Yeah. You know, it's like, what's that movie, Bullets Over Broadway, with Chaz Palminteri?
Yeah.
He was brilliant in that movie. He was great because he was a gangster.
Right, but yet he was a poet.
And he was a poet. And
yeah.
He helped write the, he was given the inspiration for it. And you can't see a guy that's been a writer all his life.
Right.
And guys like this crazy are doing the same type of job.
Because they have a voice and they lived it. And if you could get that voice on the page, you know, that's like, you can't write that stuff. You can't find people, even writers can't, because they didn't experience it, you know? So if you can bring that to the page, forget it. You know what I mean? It's just like your shit you do here and your humor. If you try to get it on the page for a show, you got to get, that's why you got to be involved in it, to get your voice there. Unless there's a guy that, and these guys are gone. There's nobody around like that anymore. That New York you're talking about, I was watching this thing recently on Jimmy Breslin and Pete Hamill about New York and the New York papers, and it was fantastic when we grew up. The News, the Post. Jimmy Breslin was a star. These guys were stars. They were journalists, but they worked their way up from copy boy. They were fucking, they didn't even graduate high school, you know? And they became superstars, but they were just reporters. But they had a voice. They had a voice, and they were real. They would report, but they would also tell stories, New York stories, the paper, the New York Daily News, the New York Post. It was great to get the paper. Now that business is gone. It's gone. You should watch this documentary.
To get a Daily News and to have it under your arm.
To eat a
buttered roll.
Buttered roll.
With a fucking...
And a coffee.
With a coffee. In those days, I was a Coke and a can.
Do you understand what that is?
Or a Yoo-hoo type
I know we've guy. Talked about that, but that's genius.
That was...
Beautiful.
That was the top of your day.
Lee, you know, have you ever had a butter roll in New York?
I don't think so.
Okay. One day when you go to New York, open your eyes. You gotta... I'm only kidding.
But you can't
gotta
have
fucking have a butter
just
roll.
A regular, you gotta go to like a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Neighborhood deli. That's
yeah,
not really.
And a
left.
Deli and a.
What kind of roll is it? Because I've had
just a good fresh roll. It's gotta be fresh.
Because
the rolls in New York, he knows are different.
And fucking you.
You can't get a butter roll out here.
Can't get a butter roll.
No fucking way you can get a butter roll out here.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I'm not mad at you.
I'm not mad at you. And for people who are listening, you know, it was a different
I'm
time.
I'm just playing with you.
To have a newspaper under your arm, to get on a subway and have the 30 minutes to fucking read the New York Post or a story about somebody who got arrested in the Bronx or, you know, and then you look at what number came out and then you'd read the fucking sports section. But I always knew, I was always a Daily News guy because they gave you
the right
numbers.
Me too.
The Post made their own lines.
Yeah.
So that's why I never
Post
liked
was
the
always
Post.
A little more cheesy.
Yeah, Post was cheesy. I wasn't Daily News type.
News
of guy.
Has got like you see it now. Everybody got fired. It's like 10 pages. There's nobody there. So it's a shame.
They want $250 for it at the airport. I shoplifted.
Oh man.
Every time I go back somewhere
I don't blame you.
I take right from that.
Yeah,
you know
what
American Airlines is?
I do the same thing.
They have the New York Daily News
go,
right there by the
yeah.
thing. They want $450 for it.
I know.
I pick it up.
No.
I pick it up, fold it up, put it under my arm and pay for the water.
Yeah.
That's how good I am.
No, I do
and
the same thing.
And the lady looks at me like, where'd you get that paper
Yeah, you
from?
Justify
I
it.
I just got it at the house.
The other day I was shopping with my wife and she tried to bust me for drinking something. I said, I just spent $70 at CVS. What do you want to fucking bust me? My own wife. And she's like, well, you didn't pay for that. So what? I spent money there. I spend fucking money, so I figure I can justify drinking a fucking drink. That's
while you're walking
$4
around.
While sure. I'm walking around.
I know. I still remember
that movie with Joe Namath where he made a sandwich?
I never did that.
I never made a sandwich.
I had a friend.
CC something. What was the name of that movie?
CC Ryder. I had a friend who used to, the big guy.
I never did that.
That's right.
I never did that.
That guy in Spot, bro.
He made a sandwich in a movie.
Every fat guy after that would walk into a supermarket, rip open Oscar Mayer cold cuts.
Yeah. No.
And get a fresh thing of bread. Yeah. That was your goal in the mid-70s.
Right.
Was to make a sandwich in a supermarket.
And you never did it, Joe?
I was too scared.
Yeah,
I was always too scared. It was worse than shoplifting. I could shoplift.
Yeah.
I could shoplift like a motherfucker.
I'm good.
I'm Spanish trained.
I don't talk about it.
I'm East Harlem trained.
I got better at it.
I'm really good at shoplifting. Yeah, yeah. But that shit of making a sandwich petrified the shit out of me. I would put a 10 pack of gum down my pants at ShopRite. If you think you're touching my dick, if you think I'm one of Michael Jackson's nephews, you better step back. I will fuck you up. This ain't Never Never Land, bitch.
Oh, man.
I swear to God, I got stopped so many times, and they would say, we have to search you. When I was 12 or 13.
Oh, when you were that young.
And I would tell them, first off, do you know who I'm with?
You would say that?
Yeah.
You would say, I'm like, who I'm with?
Yeah, like they would.
At 12?
Because the guy that I was with was a cop.
Oh.
So he wasn't really a gangster. So I go, before you fucking call, you know who I'm with? I'm with Carmine. And if Carmine comes down
hilarious.
Here, he's going to throw a beat. He was known for throwing beatings.
Who, this Carmine?
Cop, this cop was known for throwing beatings. And I hung out with his son.
ShopRite?
We just talked anybody into, we could talk you into anything because we knew this guy.
So why do you only go for gum?
At that time, we were just shoplifting gum, Lee. We had the money to go to eat. We would eat a normal sandwich, and on the way back from Union City, we'd stop in ShopRite, and each of us would take a 10-pack of Hubba Bubba, and then we'd go back to school, chew it, and then whip it at one another in big fucking chunks. I mean, we were animals in the seventh.
Wow.
I did 3 years at that school. 2 years in the seventh grade and 1 year in the eighth grade. Wow. You understand me? And those 3 years, because after I got thrown out of Catholic school, I went there. And those 3 years were fucking tremendous. Even though I got left back and I was a half a moron.
How about with the butter roll, you dip it in the coffee?
No, right? That's Spanish shit.
That's Spanish shit?
That's Cubans like
that's
that.
That's Cuban like that?
Cuban take the Cuban bread with butter and dip
they,
it in the coffee.
And they dip it? You didn't do that, did you?
No, you?
Not much.
Yes, you did.
I try it.
Yes, you did. People do it. I don't like it. I don't like it that much. That's one thing that always kills. I didn't like coffee as a kid.
Me neither. Now I love
it. I never drank it till I was...
I can't function without it now.
Didn't start drinking coffee till 2000.
No, it made me shake as a child. 99. I used to have tea with lemon. I was a real wimp. I couldn't drink coffee. It gave me the shakes. My dad used to have Sanka and all that shit.
No, when I was a kid, I drank those Cuban espressos and they twist me up.
Really?
When I was a kid, I would go to Hernandez and fucking get two of those.
Yeah. What do you drink now? Regular coffee?
Whatever my wife, Nescafe, the machine.
Nescafe.
Whatever the fucking
thing is. What do you have, a couple a day in the morning?
I have a cup of coffee in the morning.
One or two?
And then like at 8 o'clock, this is my secret.
You get up early?
Yeah, I get up at 6, 6:15.
Yeah, you're early day.
But what I do is, if I have to do comedy, at about 8:30, I'll blast a 4 thing espresso.
Oh, really?
I'll make 4 espressos.
Oh, before you do comedy?
At 8:30. Let's say my spot's at 10:15.
I mean, at night.
So I'm ready to bust.
Yeah.
I smoke some reefer.
Yeah.
I sprinkle some fucking Maluka juice on it. And I don't listen to the radio on the way to the store.
Really?
To really get me wired and sound. Like my fucking grips are hard as I'm going down Laurel Canyon.
Uh-huh.
And I'm ready.
That's how you pump yourself
kill
up?
A motherfucker. Yeah. And I do okay. But I ate a bag of dick Sunday night at the Comedy Store. But I did good Saturday, Thursday, and Tuesday. You got to eat a bag of dick from time to time. It's showing you you're growing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
People don't realize that. Like, when I left there, I called Lee, and I'm like, oh, I ate the biggest bag of dicks. And for Lee, being a year-and-a-half comic, he's like, oh, my God, you know? And I'm like, dog, I just feel bad.
And he was, like, happy about it.
I was happy because you get it out of the way.
Yeah.
That means you're not going to bomb for a while now. And if I bomb again next week, then fuck, I got it out of the way.
You still bomb?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you still bomb, huh?
Yeah. This last Sunday, I know exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I threw
punchlines. How long are you on for? How long are
you on? This week, 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah. This Sunday night when I bombed, you talking about?
Yeah.
Saturday, I did 40. 40 or an hour.
And you bombed?
No, I did well that night.
You did well.
I took my time.
Right.
I went to the setups. Sunday, I went down there on a show I wasn't supposed to be on. It wasn't my...
Where is this? At the store?
At the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
It wasn't my type of show.
Right.
And
was the audience wrong?
The audience is right. It was everything I did was wrong. I went out there maybe a little too cocky, And then I went out there without setting them up. You got to put a finger up their ass first. You got to massage their back. You got to rub their titties. You can't punch them in the pussy right off the jump on a Sunday. I forgot it was Sunday. It really creates a different mind.
Right.
That's why Sundays I never liked Sundays.
Different energy.
Sundays are very different energy that I never liked.
Yeah.
And I realized as I was going up the hill and I got off the phone with Lee, I go, it's a cop out.
Right.
But for me, it's a reality. 27 years I've been doing comedy for that long. I've never liked doing comedy on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it, so they don't like it.
So when you say you bombed, like me, I mean like the audience just didn't, you know.
They didn't take the full ride.
They didn't take the ride. You knew it, right? I mean,
I knew it from the second joke that, this might not be our guy, and I wasn't. They
right.
weren't for me.
And did you?
And then I agitated them with racial jokes.
Oh, you did?
And fucking eating my wife's IUD out and all that shit to really push them. Just because I know I don't have you.
Right.
So I might as well practice.
So you got a little angry. And you did
No, I didn't get angry. I don't get angry at all.
Talked about eating pussy and all that?
Yeah.
And
I flip it on them a little bit. I get dirtier.
Yeah.
Good finger up the air. Something, you know.
Right.
Eating your ass.
And that didn't work, yeah.
No, now they really tightened up on me.
Yeah.
And then I tried to pull it out. At that point now, at the 10-minute mark, listen, you're getting your head punched in.
Everybody bombs.
You have to bomb.
Even bomb as an actor sometimes. Some days you're just off.
It's percentages.
Yeah.
This is why you have
But if you only bomb 5 or 10% of the time, that's good, right?
This is why the Yankees were always so good all those years, because out of 9 guys, all I needed 3 to be hitting the ball.
Right.
Every World Series, we won the World Series. But yeah, but this guy went 0-for-17. Look at what he did June, July, and August.
Right.
He got him to the World Series.
Right.
By August, he petered out a little bit. He's 34, he's 32. But look who came through. That white guy that nobody talked about in June.
Right.
You hated him in June.
Right.
You hated him. He struck out in the 9th inning. He left men on base.
Mm-hmm.
But look who went 8-for-9 in the World. 8 out of 12 in the World Series. If you don't correct me right, if history corrects me, because we were talking about all the World Championships, the Red Sox. One of the when the Red Sox played the Cincinnati Reds.
75.
In 75.
Yeah.
You know who bailed them out? The guy that had gone 0-17. Tony Perez. Tony Perez went 0-for-18. He hit the single that killed the Red Sox. I don't know. I don't remember how they ended up
playing. But he was a great hitter.
He was a great hitter, Tony Perez.
Yeah.
But if you look at him in the World Series, Cincinnati did the same thing. Cincinnati played, what's that movie Brad Pitt made?
Moneyball.
Moneyball. They played Moneyball.
What, again, that World Series?
And the way their style. Cincinnati Reds style was to irritate you.
The Big Red Machine?
The Big Red Machine style was, if you watch a game now, they had a channel a couple of years ago called Classic MLB.
Right.
I don't know if it's still on. And I remember two times I was away on the road and I got stuck watching their games.
Yeah.
And I was mesmerized. I didn't remember that strategy. I didn't know strategies when I was 10.
Right.
Their strategy was, who was their leadoff hitter? Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan.
And what did he always do?
Bunt a little bit. Yeah.
And if he got on first, that was your end. That was it. You know what his percentages were of getting on first? 6 out of 10. So once he got on first, what else was Joe Morgan known to do?
He was still bases.
There you go. So now we start torturing the pitcher.
Yeah, but he was a complete player.
Now we start swinging from the side. Right. Remember, he would swing his shoulders like he was on a fucking tree.
I can see why you really connected with this team.
Then after number 2 was like...
Pete Rose. Yeah.
That's a single. That's a guy on first that's going to steal second. So you're already hitting the fucking glove with the ball.
Wow.
And now you got to face Pete Rose. It's fucking 7:35.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's 7:35 in most fucking places. And I got to throw a Pete Rose with Joe Morgan over here. And he's going to steal. He's going to steal the fucking base. And then he'd steal. Morgan pushed him to third. And Rose would get a thing. And then who is number 3?
Johnny Bench.
You can't get out of this rotation. And they had 4 thieves. They had 4 thieves that would just torment you. I watched a game where the whole rotation went twice. Don Gullet hit a single.
Yeah.
Even Don Gullet, the pitcher was hitting singles. He's stealing bases. I remember one time when I watched him on that classic thing when they took the pitcher out.
Right.
You could tell the pitcher telling the coach, I'm done.
Uh-huh.
I'm done. I'm going back to the farm. I don't need this. They hit fucking two home runs. They stole 18 bases in one inning.
Yeah.
They would steal home plate just to fuck with your brother.
They were aggressive.
They were very aggressive. Concepcion was a snake.
Concepcion was good.
The kid's father.
You had Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Sr.
Yeah.
You had Eric Foster, who was the George Foster, who was the only guy on the team beside Ben.
Cesar Geronimo. Yeah.
This was a team that
was a good team.
They were solid year, but they drove you crazy.
They were a great team.
They were great. They just drove
you crazy. They were banging on the door 72, 70. They were banging in the playoffs, 73. Then they lost to the Mets. And then
didn't they lose to Oakland A's 1 year?
They lost in 72 to the A's. Their first.
Sal Bando.
That was their first World Series. That was a good team, too.
That was a good team.
Gene Tennis.
With the fucking mustache.
Joe Rudy. They looked like the Village People. They all had mustaches. They had Vita Blue. Fucking Reggie Jesus Jackson, Burt Campaneris. They were a fucking great team. Bill North. They were Dick Green. They were a fucking great team, the Oakland A's. They were the swinging A's. They actually won in 72, 73, and 74. And then the Reds, the big red machine, came of age 75 and 76. They swept the Yankees in 76. Big red machine, like, embarrassed the Yankees that year. The Yankees won the pennant. They hadn't won a pennant in 12 years. Chris Chambliss hit a home run, but they swept the Yankees out. And it's the year before, 75. That's when they beat the Reds and that Red Sox in that great seven-game epic series. It was great. Game six was the great game.
Fisk, yeah.
Where they fucking tied the game. Bernie Carbo tied the game. It was an ex-Red. And he was getting overmatched. He hits a three-run homer to tie it. And then Carlton Fisk, their fucking beloved Red Sox. You know, he was a great player, Carlton Fisk, man. He hit one off the foul pole. And then game seven, they were winning like 3-0. The Red Sox, and then they came back. Perez hit a home run, I think, off fucking
there we go.
Bill Lee.
Like you.
Yeah, and then a little single. I think they won 4-3 or something.
Yeah, like that's how they beat you.
Yeah.
Nick, how do you...
I remember shit about baseball.
This is amazing.
That I could not remember anything about my whole life. But if you ask me shit, I can put myself right there in this and right in the place, watching the game, watching the pitch. I know exact facts of baseball to the T, especially in the 70s. And I can't remember shit about my life. But I could tell you who threw the pitch. You know, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable how it sticks in my fucking head, especially in the 70s. It's so, like I was watching that Bucky Dent bat against Mike Torres. It's just fantastic in 78 when he hit the home run. But he fouled the ball off. He cracked his bat. Mickey Rivers gives him a back. He goes, hey, homie, your bat is cracked. Your bat is cracked. And fucking Bucky Dent didn't know. And then they took a long time before they went. And Mike Torres never threw a fucking warm-up pitch. He never threw a warm-up pitch. And then after the kid that gave him the bat, he was from my town, Rosedale, Sir Andrea. Handed the bat to fucking Bucky Dent. And Bucky Dent hit the three-run home. I was in my friend's basement. Yankees were up 3-2. They went up 4-2, 5-2. Reggie hit a homer. Red Sox came back, 5-4. In the ninth inning, they had fucking first and third, two outs with Goose throwing the fucking Yaz, and Yaz popped it up. Yaz popped up the motherfucking ball.
Did you watch the Mets growing up at all?
Yeah, I watched
George
the Mets.
George Theodore,
all of them. Tom Seaver, Kuzmin, Grody.
I grew up on them. My mother was
because I'm from Queens, so I knew the Mets first, and some kids took me. I had a Puerto Rican friend. He took me to the Bronx. I was shitting in my boots. I never went to the Bronx. 73, that's how I became a Yankee fan. My friend Julius Pacheco. He was a fucking Puerto Rican kid. Took me to the Yankee Stadium. And I fell in love, man. I fell in love with Bobby Mercer and Thurman Munson. I was like, wow. Because people were like, how the fuck were you a Yankee fan? You're fucking from Queens. You're from Rosedale. The Mets. I know. That's all I knew was the Mets when I was a kid, you know. And then the Yankees weren't very good then. But the Mets were really probably more loved. They're probably more loved than the Yankees because you got to remember, New York was a National League city. You know, you had three teams. Back in the day, the Giants, the Dodgers, those were National League teams. The Yankees were always fucking hated. The Dodgers were loved. They were more loved than the Mets are basically like a fucking bastard child of the Giants and the Dodgers. Like those fucking teams had an affair and they left town and then the fucking Mets were born. If you look at the Mets colors, they're all the fucking Dodger and Giant colors. The blue, the orange. And this song is hilarious. Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the bat. Da 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 da. It cracks me up. You know, Shea Stadium. I remember
when I had friends that would bet the Mets and the game would start, you would sing, Beat the Mets.
Beat the Mets. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
come on down. Fuck you. Beat the Mets.
Were you a Met fan? Because you remember George Steendorf.
My mother was a fucking diehard. She was a Met fan and a Red Sox fan. But the love of her life was Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver. In my book, maybe one of the greatest pitchers.
Tom Seaver was the love of her life. She was in love with him.
Oh,
she wanted him. Then when they traded him to Cincinnati,
that was
terrible. She was fucking heartbroken.
Yeah.
She humiliated Rusty Staub.
Wow.
She humiliated him.
LaGrange.
So they made her. They made her sit on the other side, on right field. He was a right fielder.
Right
or left fielder.
Yeah.
They
number four,
her,
I think.
They made her
Rusty
sit
Staub.
On left field because she would throw chicken wings.
Really? At Rusty?
Him, at Rusty.
Why'd she hate Rusty?
Because he dropped the ball one night and she lost a bet. God forbid. So she never let Rusty die. Like, she fucking tormented him.
Yeah.
If she was alive, she would have gone to the cemetery and spit on his grave. She would give you, like, the name of eight players that if she bumped into, she was going to smack him in the face. She carried, like, a list. And she knew exactly why they made me lose $1,000 or whatever. She stole a bell from my church once. And the last year, one of the reasons why I got thrown out of Catholic school, I was great for 2.5 years there.
At Catholic school?
Catholic school. I was a firm Catholic.
What was
I
the
believe.
Name of your Catholic school?
Sacred Heart School for Boys.
Sacred
it was
Heart.
It was a...
grammar school?
A grammar school, eighth grade. But it was, what do you call that? When you sleep there.
A boarding school.
And they beat the fuck. It's funny. A couple nights ago, I went. I remember the story. I remember, you know, people always go, how the fuck do you remember these stories? Because I remember one, and as I'm writing one,
right,
I'll remember another one.
Right. Because one triggers another.
I have questions to ask.
Yeah.
How come at this place there was really no sexual molestation? Like, I thought back.
Well, maybe
funny.
There was, but maybe you didn't
know. You know what? A couple nights ago, the one night that I talked to Leah, I had a double espresso at like 9 o'clock, and I was off the fucking rails. I had like 4 espressos.
Really?
At like 9 o'clock, and I got home from the comedy store. I was more wired when I got home, and I went online, and I found a thread for a Reddit?
Uh-huh.
Whatever is that called?
Yeah, Reddit.
And it was people that had gone there before me.
The Sacred Heart School?
The Sacred Heart School. It was like a page for people from... Like, I was there from 70 to 73, and this was a page for people who had been there from 1962 to 66. It was an orphanage.
Oh.
And then it opened up as a school in Kearney, New Jersey. They shot The Sopranos.
Oh, in Kearney, New Jersey?
In Kearney, New Jersey.
Yeah, I
heard
of
that.
The
Sopranos was right up
the corner. Right up the street, huh?
When I shot Analyze That, we shot it 2 blocks from there. I even asked the store, West Wilson Avenue, because the school was on 22 Wilson Avenue. And he goes, Wilson Avenue is 2 blocks down. I go, that's why I remembered this road. I remembered that they would pick me up, shoot up, and this was the road to route,
right?
Whatever, 46 or 3.
Is that where the Bada Bing was, over there?
No, that's towards towards the Fort George Washington Bridge.
Oh, okay.
This is 15, 20 minutes away, suburbia. It's a street. I think the Satrials was there, or maybe not. I could be wrong. I know for sure the hardware store was Chris Moltisanti, his father-in-law.
Right.
The one they used was, I think, around there. Could be Bayonne. I'm not sure. But I went on the Reddit page, and most of the complaints I found, 90% of them were the beatings that the kids took.
Oh, beatings.
Yeah, because they would beat you there.
Right.
And then one kid did mention a nun that was there when I was there. Sister Regina and the one that hit me, Sister Hyacinth, were mentioned in that thread. And everybody had the same thing to say about Sister Hyacinth. I hope she's burning in hell.
Yeah.
She fucking poked me in the eye one time, you know, blah, 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 blah. I had done great at that school.
You did great?
They didn't like me because I didn't drink milk.
Oh.
I didn't like milk. I didn't
me
like
neither.
The taste of it. I don't like milk. I don't like it. So they would pour it over my head.
Milk?
Yeah. You know, at the end, you got to show them your tray.
Yeah, the milk carton.
So your little jail fucking, you know, TV dinner portion had to be empty. And then they would check your milk and your water.
Yeah.
You got to drink your milk and your glass of water. And I would always drink the water.
Yeah.
But leave. I would have to drink milk the way Lee eats mushrooms and stuff.
Hold
your nose. I mean, that's how bad I fucking hate it.
Did you drink chocolate milk?
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Or strawberry milk. Or strawberry quick.
Yeah.
They didn't accept that. They were like, we can't
Right, you had to drink. Back in those days, they believed, you know.
you had to drink milk.
You needed milk for your bones or some shit.
She fucking threw beatings on me. And then like the last year, I started getting a little old. I was hanging on 148th Street with some fucking, you know, where I lived was nice white kids.
Mm-hmm.
Where my godmother lived, they were street kids.
Right.
And their rules were a lot different from the rules on 88th Street. Their rule, these kids lived four to a bedroom, you know, their rules are different.
Right.
And I started listening to their rules a little more. Their rules made a little bit more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell them, they would go, you get hit. You know, everybody in the 70s knew you got hit in Catholic school.
Right.
Like that was...
It was known.
It was known.
Yeah.
You got hit. And they would say, next time they hit you, block that shit. And they would tell me stories about their cousin Guillermo knocked out a nun in the Bronx and shit. And I'd be like, what?
Really?
You hit a fucking nun? Yeah, they knocked her out. And they fucking punched her and shit. I'm like, bro, that...
Really?
Like, you're going to go to hell for that.
Yeah, that was
harsh.
But
I started thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Like, I started thinking, like, as I was going there, Bruce Lee came out.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember one beating I got that wasn't pleasant. And I remember going home, not saying nothing to my mother. And just saying to myself, the next time, you know, I didn't talk to that nun. Like, I never had contact.
Did they have a paddle or something?
They had a paddle, too. They had a paddle, a pointer. They would hit you with a pointer. Then there was a guy there that had been in the orphanage, and he would have a dog that would bite you.
Really?
Like a little mutt dog that would grab your jeans and shit, and he would hit you with the stick. If you think about it now, then as a child, you don't know, you know?
It's amazing they got away with that shit. But
they got away with it. Because in the 70s, if you went home and told your father that the guy down the block, Lee, kicked you, he'd go, what did he kick you for? There's got to be a reason.
Reason.
I called him a fucking Jew. Okay.
Well, there you go.
Well, then I'm going to smack you because I didn't raise you to call people a fucking Jew.
Exactly.
So you couldn't go home and tell your father that.
They wouldn't back you up
back then.
Your
parents would go, then you deserve to kick your fucking stomach.
If you fucked up, they'd say, well, there's a reason why you must have. Not like today, the parents would come to the kid's defense or whatever. Even if the kid did wrong, he would, you know, oh, you know, you can't touch my kid no matter what he does. But back then, they could do that.
They could do that. But I went back on the thread and there was nothing for sexual assault. But I remembered, I told the story on stage. I don't know if I told it on stage. I remembered about the kid I stuck up for when I got thrown out of Catholics. There was a reason why I stuck up for him. The reason why I stuck up for that kid was he was a little on the weak side. Him and his brother were twins. And the guy I stuck up for was getting harassed by this big black kid.
Mm-hmm.
This big black kid's name was Lazarito. He could have been Cuban or Puerto Rican or Dominican. I don't know. We'll just say he was a black kid.
Right.
Because he was very, very dark. I remember him being very, very dark.
Right.
And there were rumors going around that Lazarito was fucking people in the ass.
Really?
And on the playground, that Lazarito would always ask people, yeah, we could do it all the time and shit like that. But I guess he found the weakness in Raphael and the Bravo brothers, and he started, like, fucking... I'll never forget that I was a couple beds from them, but their beds, their heads were together.
Oh, boy.
So he would earmark them all night. Come on, let's go in the bathroom. We can get away with it. And people said they could hear it. And I was like, are you fucking guys crazy?
Really?
Oh, I had never heard of that age. I was 10. I didn't know anything about that world.
Yeah.
I knew about gay men.
Right.
But I didn't know that guys did it when they were in the fifth fucking grade. I had no fucking idea of this.
Yeah, that's like...
And sure enough, one night I got up to pee at like 3 in the morning. Like, I got up, and the nun's room, you know, you would sleep in a big dormitory, and the nun slept in the dormitory with you. Her room had a door and a wall, but the ceiling was open, like there'd be, so she could hear us.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that. I don't know if I woke up to pee, or I don't know if I woke up from hearing Lazarito fucking that kid. And I'll never forget, like, getting up, putting my slippers on, and walking towards the bathroom.
Did you really see it?
Between you and me, man?
I mean, do you know for a fact that you saw it?
Between you and I, I saw something.
You saw something.
I saw something.
Almost sounds like that.
What it was, I don't know.
Oh.
What it was, I don't know. I didn't know what the sex positions were. I was fucking 10 years old.
Yeah, I understand.
But I saw them over the urinal.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Okay, and he was doing something to his ass. I don't know what he was doing. So I went back and laid down. And I didn't say nothing.
Did you hear that laugh?
I went back. God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Interrupt him? I mean,
I don't know
if he was raping him. I don't know what he was doing to him. I'll never forget that. I talked to, like, you know, there was a couple kids from Union City.
Surprised you weren't traumatized, but you didn't really see.
You didn't have to pee anymore.
There was a couple kids from Union City that I had grown up with later after that. There was a kid that his father had a pharmacy 6 blocks from my mother's bar. Mm. And there was another kid that had grown up there. And there was this mafia family. There were two of them. There were two brothers, the Riberos. And I bumped into them years later.
Yeah.
And whenever I would bump into them, they would always go, "Hey, you remember Lazarito when he fucked Rafael Bravo?" And I always felt really bad about that. Like, I always felt like, man, that. And this year, I did a show at Gotham, and one of the guys showed, he married one of my friends. They got married later on in life, like in their 40s.
One of the guys from the boarding school?
From the boarding school. Oh. And I started talking to him back and forth.
Right.
And I go, "Do you think Lazarito?" He goes, "I remember mumblings about that." He goes, "The Rafael kid was kind of a nook, too. I don't know if you remember that." And I mistook it as a weak kid.
Right.
You
know? Did they act kind of like, you know?
I don't remember.
Who knows at that age?
But the other night, in my fucking highness, because not only am I fucking whacking that, not only am I high on the caffeine, I'm also whacking that toots-a-loots in the back every 15 minutes. I'm hitting it with the pipe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm listening to music. I'm writing in a notebook. I got a computer open at the same time. Let me check on this. I remember. And I checked on Lazarito. I went through all the Facebook, and there he was.
Really?
A grown man. I went to him. Man. I went to his messages. I tried to be his friend. Add me.
What'd he say?
I didn't hear nothing. And then I hit him with a message. "Hey, do you remember fucking Rafael Bravo in the ass in the fifth grade?"
You said that?
Yes, I did. And the next day, he was off Facebook.
Oh, forget it.
So done. So I was right.
So you were right.
I was right.
Wow.
I was right.
Wow.
Something had happened.
Oh, yeah.
But he had kids now. You know, he had a wife now.
Yeah, but the fact that you said, you know.
Yeah.
That he might have been a fruity Damati. Banging a kid in the culo.
I felt really bad because I remembered those kids. How bad, like, the kid was traumatized after he got fucked in the ass.
I'm traumatized.
That's not like a bunch of kids jerking off and they get caught by their parents or something, you know. I mean, that's a little worse. That's pretty bad.
We had a shower.
Wow.
Like, remember The Sopranos when the kid was taking a shower and he shit in the shower? Remember that episode?
Yeah,
like a bunch of kids in a school shower. I'll never forget that. We used to stand around the shower. And one day, Lazarito Villaga got a fucking a piece of soap and put it up one of the kids' asses, and shit was on the soap.
Ooh.
And he threw it on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Fucking the nun came and smacked like a kid. Who the fuck would put that shit?
Oh.
She thought I did it. Like, do I look like the type of guy that puts a bar of soap up his fucking ass?
God. Oh, my God.
She was smacking people. Who did that with the bar of soap?
Oh, my God.
And Lazarito went behind some kid and went like that. Your ass is dirty. And the soap was white with a little, like, it looked like a fucking, like one of those.
Oh, man.
Not a snow cone, but the other one that's dipped in chocolate.
Like, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. Oh, man.
And I shouldn't be saying this shit like this.
I know.
It's crazy because I was watching that fucking Michael Jackson thing.
I didn't watch it. Was it bad?
Was
it bad?
It's
And who's it coming from? Who? Some of these victims?
Two kids that went to testify that Michael was good to them. And then the effects of this stuff came into their lives. You know, the effects of getting your tongue licked at 7. And, you know, then the kid came back to shoot the video, and it was Macaulay Culkin, and I related to one part of it. I did relate to one part of it because it happened to me, is being overwhelmed. All the parents were very overwhelmed. So they're not talking to Nick DeTuro, who lives in whatever the fuck you live. They're talking to Nick DeTuro, who lived in Rosedale.
Right.
and your father worked hard every day, and your mother worked hard, and all of a sudden, you do a dance contest, and you win, and they take a picture of you, and Michael Jackson requests to meet you, and he flies to your hometown, he meets your parents, and all of a sudden, a week later, he flies you and your middle-class working parents out from Queens.
Right.
Brings them to Never Never Land or wherever the fuck they lived. I mean, they both had the similar stories. And, you know, you would go to a, I mean, you know, these kids were saying shit that it was Michael Jackson. So you went to Toys R Us and it was like, fill the cart to the top. But on top of that, they're taking care of your parents, you know. So now Michael Jackson comes to you and says, I fucking love Nick Nick, you know.
Right.
I want him to, he's seven, but he's going to be a great fucking dancer. The talent is overbearing. I want to take you and him on the road on my international tour.
Right.
Japan, Tokyo, Australia. Whatever. All the places your parents ever dreamed about going, they don't have two nickels to rub together.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? At the beginning of the tour, you're staying right next to Michael Jackson's room in a suite. And you got a maid and room service. But at the end of the night, your kid wants to sleep with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in his yeah. room, and they got extra rooms over there for you. So you're like, you don't want to break your kid's heart.
Sure.
He's with his hero. How harmless could this be?
Right.
And then, you know, I mean, they just told these stories that, and I look at it as getting overwhelmed. You know, you're middle class. I mean, the one lady even said, he lent us money to buy a house in Simi Valley. I mean, Michael was very generous, that whole thing. It's the story of these two guys, and I understand. I had this happen to somebody close to me.
Right.
This similar situation didn't happen with a celebrity. It happened to them with a relative.
Right.
And they, you know, pulled me aside one day and said, can they talk to me? And this person was
about 30. So two kids had similar stories?
Similar stories of what, how they were rotated, how, you know, what he did, what he didn't do, how he kept in touch with them. How the kid, and both of them are successful. Like they both went on. One kid went to be a choreographer
uh-huh.
for Britney Spears. And when he was 14, he tried to fuck him in the ass. And it hurt too much. So he fucking took his dick out. And
Michael?
He said, yeah, and then he drove him to his house. The car drove him to his house. And he went back to whatever. And then the next day, Michael's secretary called that they were going to pick him up right away. And Michael brought him to the studio and said, what'd you do with the underwear? Was go home and get it before anybody finds it because there might be bloodstains in it. You know, it's just, and you sit there.
I don't know what to say.
You sit there as a parent. You sit there as a human being. You sit there as a man. You sit there as somebody who likes kids. But I also sit there as a criminal. And I know when somebody is playing with somebody's mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you and I both know, look at what happened 2 weeks ago with Jesse Smollett. That didn't happen because he was gay. That didn't happen because he was black. That happened because of the pressures of Hollywood, bro. Sometimes we forget who the fuck we are.
Right.
And it happens to all of us at one time.
Well, people get caught
and
up.
And then we catch yeah. ourselves and go, what the fuck what was I thinking?
Right.
I don't like these people. I don't know nothing about these people.
Right.
I don't even like these people. I would not hang out with these people if you fucking paid me. Like, when you really come to think
sure.
about it at the end. You know, the Harvey Weinsteins, all this shit. This only happens here, Nick.
Yeah.
Because people are willing to sell their soul. You know, when I first started going to Ivana Chubbuck, the acting school, I was a stand-up that was barely making a living. And one day I booked Matt TV, whatever.
Right.
And some of the girls in the class saw it. They were all 23, 24, 27. And they would all come up to me and go, oh, you have an agent? Yeah. If you get us an agent, we'll do anything for you. I mean, people are willing to suck a dick for an agent in this town.
Yeah.
So what do you think Harvey saw? Harvey saw an opportunity, and he took it. Am I mad at him? Yeah, he's a fucking pedophile, whatever the fuck he is. But,
right,
you know, people are willing to sell their soul in this town.
Yeah, they are.
We've seen it happen 30,000 times. The reason why you and I are still here is because we didn't sell our souls. We may not be rich. We may not have a butler. We may not work every day. But at least we know who the fuck we are.
Right.
And we're not fucking confused. And that, and you've ever worked on a kid show?
Yeah.
You ever see the mothers?
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
These people who don't know, at home, you have what's called stage moms.
Yeah.
And guys, you don't even want to know what that world entails.
No, you don't. You don't.
That's a complete different world in this town that
you
don't even want to get to know, because it's...
they will do anything. Anything.
The mothers will do.
The parents are ruthless.
Anything. Yeah. And the fathers are at home working.
Right.
They're working a 9-to-5 and wherever the fuck
they are. And that's why a lot of those kids, you know, are not protected. And a lot of those kids get fucking destroyed. And some of them that are stars wind up, you know, dead and hooked on drugs. And I mean, you know, it's stories that I spoke to Rick Schroeder years ago. And he was telling me he had good parents and they protected him. He could have been like a lot of his friends in Hollywood that got fucked up and destroyed. So between the parents, the drugs, the pressure, stardom, you know, it's just too much, man.
So what the fuck? You didn't get invited to the Oscars? I was all happy.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I thought you were going to the fucking Oscars. You were
great.
Well,
you know, no, thank you. Thank you. I went to the SAG Awards. I went to the SAG Awards. But the Oscars, not everybody gets invited to the Oscars. The Oscars is very political, and you got to be, I think if you're a member, even if you're a member, it's like by... You know, it's by lottery now to even get a fucking ticket. Maybe a couple of people that were nominated will get invited, but not everybody from the movie. A lot of the guys I spoke to that were in the movie that had big part, good parts like me, weren't invited. So that's just how it, you know, I mean, it would have been nice to be there, but the bottom line was I was in the movie, and the movie's an Academy Award movie, won the Cannes Film Festival. So, I mean, listen, I've been to all these big award shows except the Oscars, so it would have been nice.
When you were shooting the movie, did you think there was an Oscar?
No.
Would it be anything?
No, I just thought it was interesting. I thought, you know, I was only there for like 9 days, whatever. Did my role. I hadn't worked with Spike in a long time, but I did like the tone of the movie. I thought Adam Driver was interesting. John David, I liked him. But I had no expectations. I didn't think the movie was going to be anything that big until Spike told me... This is like some do the right thing shit, Nick. You know, and when I saw I did the looping for it, I said, oh. And I heard it got into the Cannes Film Festival, and I said, oh, it must be good. It must be good. I almost went to Cannes. Spike had 2 tickets. That I fucked up. I didn't go. I should have. My son was like, you blew it. You blew it. I could have went to the Cannes and walked that red car. I should have just went. I got the plane ticket. You know, because Cannes is like, it's a scene. It's like the Oscars. Maybe even more prestige in a way. But it won the camera, the award, whatever they call it over there. But no, I didn't know, man. I didn't really know it was gonna be that you know, that kind of movie. Sometimes it's better when you don't expect shit like that. You know, it's like years ago with NYPD. I didn't know NYPD Blue was gonna be, you know, legendary show. But sometimes, you know, the things you think that are gonna be fucking home runs never are. But this was this all came together, and you know, when I saw the premiere in Brooklyn, that was a great night. John was there, and you know, everybody was like, man, this is dynamite. It was a great feeling. I mean, but like I say, I would have liked to have been to the Oscars, but I wasn't there, so it's okay. I'm still in the movie, so, and the movie's gonna, you know, a lot of people are watching it now, and Spike finally got his Oscar, which is cool. I'm happy for him. He's back in the game, you know. It's been a minute, but Spike, you know, he's had a great body of work, and you know, it all started for me with him. Mo Better Blues, Jungle Fever. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I might not even be in show business. I mean, when I was thinking about it, like if I didn't meet him and I didn't scream those racial obscenities or whatever he made me do, who knows? I might have not even become an actor. It was funny how someone gets you started that starts you, and it all started with him.
How old were you?
I was like my late 20s. I was in my fucking late 20s, and you know, I went down one night to be an extra, and then I didn't show up the next night. And I don't know. He was asking, like, what happened? Why didn't he come back? And then he called me one day out of the blue to do some looping for fucking Mo Better Blues. Oh, not Mo Better, for Do the Right Thing. And then that's how I caught his attention by yelling and screaming this fucking racial obscenities for like 3 hours. And he was laughing hard. And next thing I know, he put me in a movie. So... You know, it was Mo Better Blues, man. I mean, with 2 Jewish guys. We were playing 2 Jews, me and my brother. Mo and Josh Flatbush, you know. Denzel Washington. I was like, who's this guy? Wow, he's fucking good. And my brother was like, oh, yeah, this guy's like, you know. And I was like, I just hope I can do it. I hope I don't suck. It was my first movie, you know. But I worked hard, you know. And I remember after a couple of weeks, my brother goes, I had to go back to being the doorman. He goes, don't forget what happened here. Don't forget the experience you had. So I won't. I knew, like, you know, it definitely changed my You know, and then Spike was like, I got something else for you coming. Something better, you know, next movie. I was like, all right, great. So that started the whole shit. That was Jungle Fever. And that was like my coming out party. You know, I was like really fucking so psyched and pumped. And we were rehearsing. I had the haircut, the Sergio Tacchini sweatsuit. I mean, fucking, I was really like in a zone in that movie. I knew after that movie, I said, all right, this is it. I'm doing this. I'm going for this. No, nothing's stopping me now. I was like, that really was my, you know, so it's always special, you know, to do something with a guy that started you. You know what I mean? It's nice to have that feeling, you know. You know, the only thing is he don't pay a lot. He don't pay a lot, Spike, but that's how he is. But it's okay.
You know, man, I say it all the time how the allure of this town. It's not, for me, it was never the star thing. For me, it was never the star thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just doing what I wanted to do. I enjoyed comedy. I enjoyed a movie or a TV show from time to time. It wasn't money or anything like that. It was just something I enjoyed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to still be 56 and still live here, and you go like, yo, I could see your not unpleasantness, not hate, because I don't hate it. I just know I'm not going to settle here. I know I don't want to die in California. I want to have a different type of house.
Me too.
I want to have a different type of life. I want it to be a little slower, you know, but the thing that keeps you here is whether it's Lee or you or me, it's that everything could change.
Right.
And nobody else that lives like that understands that. That we're here talking today, and tomorrow you might get a show, a call, to go to Culver City at 4:30 to read this new fucking show on ABC. And you go in there, and a year later, it's on Time Magazine, it's on the cover of this, it wins 13 Emmys, and your fucking life changes forever.
Yeah.
At 57 years old, or 23 years old. Or 38 years old. Something that doesn't happen when you just have a regular day job.
Exactly.
If I'm on a day job and I'm going to work on a movie theater, I might get promoted to manager. That's not going to change my life.
Exactly.
It's going to put a couple ducats in my pocket and whatever.
But that's why the allure of that.
The allure of that.
A job away.
It's my lottery ticket.
Right, right.
Well, you're one job away from
getting back on changing. Top.
Yeah. And you don't know what job that's going to be.
Yeah.
It could be a movie with Will Smith. Or it could be a fucking short film for Johnny De La Cruz that goes to Cannes and wins Best Film.
Sure.
But a guy that's doing a pilot at NBC that was actually going to go with Johnny Gumbats to play that part is now going to go with you because on the way out he heard your voice or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
That thing is what keeps us here. That little, that all this could change. Now, what do you want it to change? What do you want to fly around the world like Prince? I don't want any of that stuff now.
No.
57. I don't have, but you can know that maybe somebody puts together a show that it's going to be the best 5 years of your life.
Yeah.
And you're going to do it from 58 to 63.
Yep.
And then when you're done, you're done.
You're done.
You're done.
Like, that's what
I
want.
Yeah. Like, you're like,
I want that.
I'm done.
I want that. And not just the money. I want that feeling again. I want that feeling like when I remember when I'm never going to feel like that when I'm NYPD Blue and I was young and this and that. And everything was so new, so fresh. So when I think back, like sometimes I go, wow, did I soak it all in? Did I enjoy it? I probably did because I was in it. But just that feeling, that high again, to be a part of something that good and to have that ride. I want one good ride before I fucking go on to wherever I go. And I mean, I'm hanging on. That's what I'm hanging on to. You know, because I still got some shit left in the tank. And I still got some punch left, so. Well,
worst case scenario, you could always be a fucking chef.
Yeah.
You brought some sauce in.
Well, I brought some sauce, so, you
Mickey's
know.
Red sauce.
Maybe I branch
bread.
Out.
Where'd you get this bread from?
It's okay. I just picked it up from Gelson's. Yeah. So we mass produced it. Now I'm sampling it. How's it taste? Tremendous,
you
huh?
know, I went to Original Joe's a couple weeks ago in San Jose, San Francisco.
Right.
I've been there for 92 years. And there was a point where I just tasted the spaghetti.
Right.
Like without the sauce, I got some of the spaghetti.
Right.
The spaghetti was fucking delicious.
Good, huh?
I could taste the flavor. They put the butter in it. They put it back in the pot and stirred the butter in it. And then put the sauce.
Is this al dente? Show them the color of that. Good color, too. They got the rib in there, everything. Just has to be marketed. That's it. I mean, my mom made an incredible sauce, and now I've developed mine, and everybody goes nuts over it. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting some the right people behind it. Maybe put me and John's face on it, you know, even though he didn't make it. But it's our family. You know what I mean? It's in us. You know, we grew up, our sauce was unbelievable. My mom, I never could even see how she made it. It just seemed like it appeared. You know, she had a braciole, the fucking meatballs would just melt in your mouth. I mean, but you know, my sauce is, people come.
It's fucking delicious.
They come for it.
Delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I made it years ago for Adam.
It's light.
And this is light, right? Very light. You liked it too, right, Lee?
I wanted to have the entire jar. It's delicious.
Look at that.
He would drink it.
Yeah.
He brings it every time. I was thinking about it today. I was like, oh, Nick's coming over, bring sauce.
Yeah, no. When you said you were coming, I was going to get sandwiches from Domingo's, but 8 o'clock, that fucking closed.
Yeah, closed.
7 o'clock, that fucking
closed. It's all right. It's all right.
So I didn't know. I'm happy. Then I thought maybe we'll just order a pizza from Joe's. We'll get a Grubhub, whatever.
Nah, no.
Because I don't think Joe's will deliver from Sherman Oaks now.
I had a big late lunch at Delmonico's. Not bad. I had some oysters today. And I had some fucking ceviche. Not bad. The oysters are good for the old pinga. You know what I mean?
The pinga.
I tell you, man. The fucking oysters. They work. Just like clams on the half shell.
You know what works? Squats.
What?
When you squat.
Really?
With heavy weight.
Oh, man.
My dick gets fucking hard.
Dark chocolate, too. Pain. You ever tried dark chocolate?
No.
It's good.
Dark chocolate gets your dick hard?
Gets your malachi up there.
I was talking to a friend of mine, a girl I went to high school with when I went to Jersey. We were all in the same room, like a bunch of guys, and a bunch of them were in there. And
she goes, try some more of that. Let me go.
She goes, I'm surprised half of you still get it up.
Really?
Because she's single. She's like our age and single.
Yeah.
And I go, why? You date? She goes, oh, half the guys I date don't get a fucking hard on it. I'm like, that's a shame.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you're that young, you know. I mean, the only thing is, you know it's a different kind of hard on.
Oh, yeah, it's a different hard on.
It is.
It's a fucking nightmare of a hard on. It comes and it goes.
Yeah, and it disappears quickly.
And it disappears quickly.
And where the fuck did it go?
There's no more fucking, hold on 10 minutes, I'll give you another stab in a second.
No way, right?
Yeah, those 20-year-old, you know, it's funny how sometimes you're driving in a car and you're at a light and you see a young couple.
Right.
Like 18, 17.
Man, this is good.
Let's keep this over 18.
And you look at them and you go, they're doing some fucking.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going, I never
in the car.
Like, I never got into it that young. But I got into it, like, when I was 20, 21. Like, that one girlfriend that you fucked every day, twice a day, no matter what. She got two dickens a day. Even when I lived in Seattle, when I dated that one girl, I gave her a stab. And every day, I had to keep her in check.
Right.
Every fucking day, I had the...
Yeah.
Now, I can't give nobody a stab every day.
Not every day.
Not every day.
No,
still get horny.
Yeah.
I still get dark thoughts.
You wake up with a hard on?
Yeah.
Good, that's good.
I wake up with a hard on.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get horny in the middle of the night. Sometimes I get horny when I'm on the computer.
Yeah.
Like at fucking 3 a.m, I'll be on the computer. My dick gets hard.
Sure. It's funny how different things get you excited now as you get older. Little things, you know? Your taste changes. You know, you can't plan it. You just got to live in the moment. You know, you can't plan that shit. You know what I mean? You just can't plan. It's when it comes, it comes.
You know, Ray Romano's special, he talks about that.
Does he?
Yeah.
That was a good special.
Huh?
I like that.
No, it was a very good
special. Was it good? He's a good stand-up.
He's a very good stand-up. 30 years.
Ray's good.
Bro, when he's solid, you know, his acting's solid. I've seen him do some good shit.
Yeah,
I've seen Ray do some good shit that I've even said... That show he had on TNT, I got hooked on that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The men's show with the black dude and the white guy. I got into that show.
Yeah, he was even good in that vinyl show that wasn't very good, but I thought he was good.
He was great in vinyl. Yeah,
and I mean, is he going to be in The Irishman? That should be interesting, huh? De Niro, Pesci, Keitel. I don't know what the fuck, Pacino.
I'm
just going to see it. I mean,
I don't know.
I think Sebastian Maniscalco is
in it.
He's getting some acting work. They're using him.
Good for him.
Good for him. He's a good stand-up. He's in the Green Book, which I liked. I thought the Green, my friend wrote that book.
Now, how didn't you get a piece of that?
I'll tell you why. Well, my friend Nick Villalonga wrote it. And then I said, yeah, how come they used all these like generic guys? They didn't want to use people, from what I heard, that were very known. And sometimes they wanted to go against that. Not that I'm known.
Well, they used that guy. That, what's the older guy in there's name? That he was the original Don Johnson. And then Don Johnson took his job. Good-looking Italian guy. Not that guy. He was married to the chick from NYPD Blue.
Oh, Joe Cortese.
Yeah, he's in
it. Yeah, well, Joe was in it. But Joe was like the only known... Joe's a character. I know Joe. But I mean, there was all these other guys that were like, you know, they were okay. I didn't think they were that memorable. You know, I liked the script. I thought that Vigo's a great actor, but he's not Italian. But, you know, the movie was a good enjoyable movie. I liked the movie. I thought it was a good movie.
One of my friends loves it. He says one of the best movies he's ever seen. Never watched it yet.
I'm not going to say it's one of the greatest movies of all time. But I think it was a very good movie. I thought Star Is Born was very good. I mean, the Rhapsody movie, I thought The Kid was good. I didn't love the movie, but The Kid was very good in it.
Thought The Star Is Born was good?
Yeah, yeah. I thought he did a great job. Dice was good in it. My brother turned that role down that Dice did. And I guess John didn't want to do that role. But Dice was good. But I liked the movie. Bradley Cooper, I mean, he's gotten better and better and better. You know, hey, two paisans too, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, two Italians. So I did like them more. I saw it on the big screen. I saw Roma, which it was slow. I mean, people loved it. You know, it was artistic. That was that Mexican guy that made it, Alfonso Cuarón or something. But the movie was slow, but it was interesting. It was beautifully shot. It was in black and white. It was all about women. I don't know if you saw it, Roma. But I love the Green Book. I love the Green Book. Black Klansman, I thought, was easily probably one of the best movies too. I thought we were right there. I thought we could have gotten it too. But it was
funny. Lee said something in the beginning of the movie or during the movie. He goes, you know, we don't go to the movies as much
anymore. No, no.
You know, you do though.
I go a little bit.
I respect you because you're a student of the game. Me,
it's not the same seeing the movie on the small screen.
I'm over. Nothing has blown my fucking top off in a long time.
It's been a while.
So I got a problem. Either I'm living too much in the past. I've thought about this.
No, you're not.
But the other night, I fucking came home from the store Sunday night. My wife was sleeping. And I went on YouTube and I bought Year of the Dragon. I was just in the mood for Mickey Rourke.
Right.
I was driving back up Laurel Canyon and I go, I'm in the mood for Mickey Rourke. It's $2.99. I'm going to watch an hour of it. I laughed. I cried. I fucking giggled my ass off. He says a couple lines in that movie. You know, the first time I watched Year of the Dragon, I walked out.
Yeah, that happens.
I saw that at the Fox Theater in Boulder. It was like I had just moved to Boulder in 1985. I had just been out that week.
And you walked out.
I did. When he walks in and tells the Chinese people there's a new marshal in town, I'm like, who the fuck is this fucking punk ass bitch?
Yeah.
He did the Pope of Greenwich Village. Now he's threatening Chinese people. Not on my clock. I got up and walked out of the fucking movie. And he showed up 2 years later in Angel Heart.
Yeah.
And it was a little stronger. Mm. But the first time I watched Year of the Dragon, I walked out. And then I saw it like on VHS. I worked at a video store and it came in.
And you had a different feel the second time.
Oh, yeah. I love
that. That's why I'll tell you, you can't judge a movie the first time. You could watch a movie that you loved, and then the second time you don't love it as much. Or that vice versa, you didn't love, and then you go, wow, this is fucking way better. This is like the movie The Town. I watched that movie that Ben Affleck made.
20 times.
I fucking love that movie.
I love that movie.
I love that movie.
If it's on TNT.
That's better than the movie that he made that he got nominated for.
I will watch movie, The Town 80 times.
Jeremy Renner and Ben Affleck is fucking great in it. That's a great fucking movie.
The chick is good. Even the fucking cop that bothers me in real life.
Even that guy. He's a bit of a douche. What's his name? He plays a good douche guy. He was on that series, I forget.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
He was great.
Close the fucking gate.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that movie.
I love that movie.
I watched it, and there's a
John Hamm.
John Hamm. Yeah, he plays a good douchey guy. You know, he's the kind of guy you look at him and you go, I don't like this guy, but he's a good actor. He's a good actor. I got to give it to him. And that's a great. I tell you a movie that I love that people don't even know about. I told Michael Imperioli, Fingers. Have you ever seen Fingers?
No.
1977, Keitel. Michael V. Gazzo. Oh, my God. You got to see a young Tony Sirico's in it. James Toback wrote and directed. It's one of the best. Jim Brown is in it. Oh, shit. You're going to love this movie, Fingers.
Somebody told me about this
It's
movie.
Fucking Hold great. On. Luca Brasi's in it. There's a scene where Keitel collects for his dad. He's a collector. His dad, Michael Vigazzo. He carries a radio and he listens to that movie, Summertime, Summertime, Summertime. But he wants to play piano, concert pianist, but he moonlights as a collector for his dad. And the fucking, there's a scene where it's John's Pizzeria on Mulberry Street. And he goes in there and he confronts Lenny Montana, who played fucking, Luca Brasi. Yeah, and he tells him, can I talk to you? He goes, nah. You know, he tells him, because I got to talk to you. He goes, and he takes him in the back and he's like, what a confrontation. Then, Keitel goes in there carrying the radio. 1970s in the John's Pizzeria. You could even Google that scene. The fucking scene is great. I don't want to tell you how the scene goes down, but it's a good movie. It's like one of the best movies that people don't know about. Fingers, you will love it. I know it's right up your alley. You will fucking love this movie. New York in the 70s. And just for whatever reason, I found it like at a fucking Costco years ago, and I discovered it.
A lot of these movies you watch.
James Toback, he made the original Gambler. The guy was talented. Right. That's a good movie too, with Jimmy Conn.
With Jimmy Conn, that's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
But these movies.
No, it's good too. Thief.
That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
That's a good movie.
That is one.
It's one of the Michael Mann's
that's
best.
That's the one that set me over the top.
Yeah, I love that.
That movie turned me into a criminal. Like when I saw that movie.
That's why you will love Fingers, guaranteed.
When that movie came out, first of all, that one.
It's very believable.
It won Cannes in 1980.
Oh, it did?
Thief won Cannes. Look it up. Okay. See if I'm right. Thief won Cannes in 1980. Nobody knew about that movie.
Nope.
And then the...
First 15 minutes, no dialogue.
The fall of 81, that movie came out on HBO on the same lineup with Hollywood Nights and a movie by the name of Raging Bull.
Wow.
So every night on HBO was the same boring lineup at the end. 1 a.m. Thief.
Yeah.
2:33 Raging Bull. And we would stay up.
Right.
We would go to Pathmark, shoplift, pay for half the shit.
Oh, my God.
And then go home and make chocolate shakes and fucking watch movies. And we were lifters. Me and my buddy were power lifters, weight lifters.
Yeah.
So at night, we would make protein shakes with Yoo-Hoo, raw eggs. We put 6 eggs in there.
Yeah.
Wheat germ.
Wow.
Fucking ice cream. We were getting yolked and shit.
Oh, my God.
And we what? Didn't it win Cannes 1980?
I'll tell you in a second. Because it's 1981.
Is that when it came out? 81? Yeah, people didn't know. They didn't know who even Michael Mann was.
No.
James Caan was saying this guy was.
I'm going to tell you who stole that movie. Jim Belushi did very good.
He's great.
Willie Nelson is phenomenal.
He's great.
The guy
Robert
Prosky is phenomenal. The chick is phenomenal.
She's good, too.
When he tells her at Tuesday the fucking Tuesday Weld.
He goes, get out, throws her out. Oh, my God.
Thief is one of the movies that put me over the top. Yeah. Half the shit I do today.
Well, because the movie's very real. There's something about that movie that even Jim Belushi, it's the best thing Jim Belushi ever did.
The best thing he ever did. Yeah. Life. The best. When he walks in there and he tells the guy, he puts a gun to his head.
Oh.
I come in here to discuss a piece of business with you. Yeah. And what are you going to do? Yeah. You're going to give me fairy tales.
Right.
Who are you, Slick? Somebody know you?
Get the fuck out of here.
And he pulls that 45 to his head.
And he just says nice and slowly,
I am the last guy in the world.
You want to fuck with. Right.
Let us pretend that you don't know whose money it is.
Right.
Let us pretend you don't know whose money it is. You know, that whole scene makes my heart beat.
Oh, I love it.
And when I go after people like that.
We got this problem. And the other guy's good, too. He goes, well, what do you mean? Take it to probate.
You got delivery of tin, what's your name?
Whatever your fucking name. I don't know. Hey, Carl, get the fuck out of here.
And Carl was Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina, who I fucking love. Right.
One of his first roles.
You saw him walk by. He looks at Jimmy Conn.
Yeah, he looks at
him. I'm with you.
When he walks in.
I just bought the Criterion Collection.
Walks in, he goes, you keep this car running.
Right.
He tells Jim Belushi.
You remember the car? It's one of my favorite cars.
Oh, my God.
The one he drove in the movie.
Yeah, the one he drove.
The Buritz. The Eldorado Buritz.
The work car
was like the Pontiac Le Mans.
The Pontiac Le Mans,
But the black fucking Buritz. Oh, I love that car. He shows up there. There's another famous actor in there. He goes, hey, pal. And he's trying to pick up the girl. He goes, you were late. And that was William Peterson. You remember the guy playing in the band? That's Bill Peterson. Yeah.
That's in fact, Michael Mann used him in his next movie,
which was Manhunter.
Manhunter.
Yeah.
He used him in it. So when you see Peterson from CSI, CSI. This is 1980. Yeah. He's the guitar player.
And then he was.
Yeah, he's the door. No, he's the door guy.
Yeah.
That comes over he's and the goes, door hey, guy. Right. And then
he's like,
him,
you know, because he shows up late.
And he fucking hits him.
Yeah.
And then he carries her out of there.
Carries
her.
And
the black guy goes and he smacks the guy.
He hits the fucking
and he gets back
guy.
In the car.
He goes, what do you think I do? You
know, I'm a fucking thief. I change shoes like most guys.
I change cars
like most guys change their fucking shoes.
Yeah.
I went in the joint and he's looking at her for an answer. Yeah. She's like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't care. Because did I ever come on to you? Did I ever come on to you? He goes, right, because I'm a true blue kind of guy.
I'm a true blue type of guy.
Let's get on with this big romance. He goes.
You don't fuck around.
Oh, man.
It's a non-nonsense type of character.
And you know, the scene in the restaurant when they're sitting there after they adopt the baby. And the Chinese guy goes, what's a nice baby? What's name? He goes, no name yet. No name. She goes, you want to name him after okra? He goes, no, the name is David.
David.
Yeah. He goes, hey, guy. Come my son. Back. My son is David. David, good name. David Good, I love that scene.
David Goodnight.
So simple, you know? And man, you know, when you knew they were going to do a number on him. He was like, you know,
I will have your wife on the streets getting fucked in the ass by niggas and Puerto Ricans.
Oh, my God.
You will die. What did you say?
They'll be eating them.
They'll be eating them for lunch.
And hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
You do what I say,
you will end up in the joint, dead.
You don't
want to
work for me. He goes,
oh my God, he reads him the riot.
Look what happened to your pal.
And they throw him in a tub of acid. But that was after they stole that from Enter the Dragon. That's what they did to Jim Kelly.
His mentality, he didn't give a fuck.
No, at the end,
when he goes back.
Dog, there's a scene in there, guys, when they show him washing his head. He gets the towel, he throws in the sink, and he looks at himself in the mirror for 30 seconds. Then he slams his forehead in the mirror.
Yep.
And the mirror kind of cracks. And then you see him walk into a closet.
Yeah.
And, you know, in real life, that's how you have to be that disciplined. Remember when she's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Why are you doing this? This is what's
going to happen.
It
was like it was over.
The first month is $300,000. You will pay him $100,000. After that, you will be on your own and all this shit.
Exactly.
Those type of guys are programmed like that. And at that age, I was like, that's what I need.
Really?
That's a discipline I need. When I say to someone, let's stick to something. That's where I started.
There was something very truthful about just the way they did that movie. I don't know, and I'm not a fucking criminal, but there was something about that movie that just rang so true. Even when you watch it, you're just like, wow, they really nailed it, you know?
It's funny. After that, I went to Aspen, and I met a guy with an electrician. So I talked to him about alarms.
Glad you loved that movie.
He talked to me about alarms.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me about alarm systems. And then I took an electrical course.
You did?
And I became an electrician's helper. And it was all to learn how to break into alarms.
Really?
My whole motivation.
What about that one, the tool that they made?
That
he goes, I want to make
alarm.
That was some fucking tool.
And then you had to drill. And then I was always confused. I always thought that you had to fucking be a safe cracker. So for years, I would go in there with a sledgehammer and try to break things and shit. And then in summer of 83, I met a Westie.
You did?
And he told me, he goes, nah, we don't crack it. That's in the movies.
Who told you this? A Westie?
A Westie guy. I had become friends with him through a friend of mine. And he liked me, and he used to get me jobs at warehouses to case them out.
Yeah.
He would go, I got your job. Go down there. Everybody's in on it.
Yeah.
Go down there, case the stuff out, because he knew I was a thief.
Right.
So you go look for the windows, look for access, look for access to the roads. Tell me what you see that you don't like. Because he would take me to places.
Yeah.
And go, what do you see that you don't like?
Yeah.
I don't like that window's too close to the street. That lady's always in the window. You're not going to get in that fucking building. That lady's always there. I could see that shit.
Yeah.
From a mile away. So he knew that.
Right.
So he told me, he's the one that said, we don't break safes.
So.
We take the safe home and then we go to a guy with a welding. And he welds the safes open.
Right.
So then I started doing that. I just started taking a hand jack with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I would just walk out with the safe.
Oh, with the whole safe.
So I stole about 10 safes, and I opened up about all 10 of them.
You did?
Yeah, without all that skill.
Holy shit.
You give somebody
shit.
$300 to fucking get a welder's thing.
Yeah. Like this fucking guy, you know, like Willie Nelson was his inspiration. Like he inspired him.
Well, Willie Nelson, he met him in jail.
In jail,
what happens
right?
When you meet somebody in jail and somebody takes care of you, you become a better criminal in jail.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. You meet
guys that are
the guy that's you at 30, 40.
Right.
So you meet him at 28. You got a 5-year bit.
All right.
He's in your ear every fucking day.
Oh, okay.
He's in your ear every day. When we get out, we're going to do this, and this.
Yeah.
So now you learn. If you look at that guy that worked for Pablo Escobar, he learned routes when he went to prison.
Yeah.
The guy from the Medellin cartel, mm-hmm. the one that was a Nazi and like John Lennon and all that shit, he got better in prison. He was a weed smuggler.
Right.
He went to prison for weed.
For weed.
And he met dudes that were going, what are you doing? We got cocaine. When you get out, call this guy and tell him you got a plane. And don't do it through here, do it through there. You know, when I got locked up, I learned a bunch of things.
Uh-huh.
You learn little things that most people do not know.
Right.
Like one thing I learned in federal lockup, before you get sent out, was all those guys were saying the same thing. As dirty as this is, I'll say it. You know, in movies, you see a guy show up with a briefcase. Look at this bumpy. He's passed out.
Well, I'm fucked up.
He's fucking whacked. This fucking dude, man. I never seen anybody like him.
We took the edibles of death tonight.
Yeah?
One for each eyeball. You know what I'm saying?
But you're still open.
I'm getting there. I had a moment there for a second.
Look at him.
But I always tame the monster down.
That is a great picture, man.
Look at him. You heard that noise before.
Oh, yeah.
You thought it was somebody stepping on a dog. You thought somebody stepped on a dog downstairs.
How's
really
the stand-up
him.
Going? How's your stand-up? Good?
It's good.
It's going really
good.
I gotta hear you one day. Come out.
I'm doing Skankfest. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Rappaport's doing. My man Mikey's doing stand-up now, huh?
Mikey was a stand-up.
He was, right? So now he's out there doing his shit.
And now he's out there. Listen, he's created his own market.
But
what I was going to say to you was, you know, in all these movies, you see a guy come up with a suitcase, and he gives it to you, and the guy opens up the suitcase. He goes, it's good. And then you take it, and then you take a tube, and you cut it, and put it in a tube, and shake it up, and see if it's blue.
Right.
And you take it home. You know, for years, I never got in trouble for drug possession or sales. I always kept sales to people I knew.
Right.
And even if I didn't know you, and I had I always put a cop uniform on you.
Uh-huh.
Like with my head, like the other day, I was watching Carlito's Way, when Carlito walks into the hospital, and he goes, I don't know. But that guy doesn't look like he should be wearing that blue suit. That's how you know a cop is a suit. You look at him and go, put that suit on him. If it's a cop, it's a cop. It's and you trust your instinct. And I remember meeting not one guy, but I talked to multiple guys that didn't know each other.
Right.
You know, multiple different guys that showed me their paperwork and what they had been arrested for, you know, possession of 10 kilos of cocaine and shit. And there was one guy that told me, there was a couple guys that told me stories about, he goes, I go, well, why would you sell him that much if he didn't do cocaine? He's like, what are you talking about? This guy was going line for line with me.
Right.
These guys go line for line with you.
Wow.
The one guy was saying, I'm a coke shooter.
Mm-hmm.
This guy would go shot for shot with me. But they take you, once they get you on camera and they get the audio and the 10 cops come in and they handcuff you, they got you.
Yeah.
So what they do is they put that cop into rehab.
Really?
They clean him up, and he shows up when his system is clean. You're sitting there going, he can't be a cop. I did heroin with him. I did coke with him. And they're like, you're a criminal. Why are we going to believe you?
Yeah.
But I knew tons of guys that said the same stories. The
same shit.
I got high with them, shot coke. If they ate pills, I ate pills. You know, it's just a different animal.
Right.
When you're at that level,
a
federal agent, you got to throw down.
Yeah.
When you're a local guy, maybe some kid will sell you a nickel bag. But for me to sell you 2 kilos, we got to hang out for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Let me get to know you. Let's make some runs. You know what I'm saying? So that shit don't happen. But the fucking Lord's prayers were answered this week. Finally, you decided to start releasing a podcast.
Yeah, finally. Finally,
I'm
after
happy
all
about
these
that.
Fucking years.
You know, Lee still talks to that guy with the baseball games and stuff.
Yeah, I've been talking to him.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
We liked it and everything. I think it's a great thing. There was just no money to be made. And that's why we didn't pursue it anymore because it's a sad lay away from my kid, you know, blah, 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 blah. and there's not even a little bit of money, you got to sit there with a bucket.
Right.
You know, and hope that somebody gives you $5.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I
don't mind making a free video if it's a free video. But 2 hours of me sitting here talking about a UFC fight or a baseball game, it's got to be part of a package.
Yeah.
Something, you know.
It could work if it's part of the whole thing.
Part of the whole
thing. Like even with this thing, maybe we'll watch a few games with some people together, parts of games, and implement that into the show. You know, even though baseball, it can't just be about baseball, but we can take snips and clips from shit, you know. But that, I think the idea of it was good. It just needs to be more, it wasn't fleshed out enough, I think, to make it like.
Well, I know when we did it, we tried it for UFC, and there's an app.
Right.
You gotta download the app, and there was like a couple of steps.
Yeah.
And you have to eliminate a couple of those steps.
Right.
People are used to clicking.
Fast.
They want to click. They want to click once or twice or three times.
I went on CC Sabathia and this guy Ryan Rucco in New York. I did a podcast with them, and they were fascinated by the idea. I said it would be great if we had like an app, a channel where we could do a game once in a while, uncensored, uncut, where, you know, you don't just curse the cursor. You say, ah, fuck, mother. You know, you're watching a game really
if you just want to say shit.
Yeah, if you want to say shit.
God damn it.
Right, God damn it. I don't fucking care, you know. And CC Sabathia goes, man, that would be great. You know, and Rucco goes, yeah, that would be great to do a game where you're like in a real, you know, situation with a real fan like me and maybe a few guys and just off the cuff watch a game but commentate on it in an organic real way for like a real, like give them that option. Like if they want to watch a baseball in a different kind of way instead of this generic way. And they were like, that could be fucking great. Something like that. They liked the idea. They were saying this design new app area, but they're doing just boxing, I think, right now. They signed, they're out of England. I don't know. DAZN. Have you heard about them?
No.
Canelo signed with them and it's a new network. But I mean, listen, I'm going to start with this, try to build it up. You know what I mean? I've been fooling around with this stuff for the last few years, but it's about time that I give it a shot and go at it every week and try to fucking, you know, bring me, Nick Totoro, to the fucking place every week and something, find my own fucking thing. You know what I mean? It's about time. I've been talking shit and everybody's like, man, well, just do it. Just do it. So it's time. And then I got Nick, who's like behind it, and this other guy at Showtime who's supporting it. So maybe, well, we'll get a little love. Guys like you, Mikey Raps, everybody's like, you know, give me that little push and you know, might as well fucking do it. Why not?
Go for it, brother.
What do I got to lose?
I'm happy you came on. I'm happy you brought the sauce.
Thank you, buddy.
Lee's done.
Yeah, take it home. Take it home.
Take it home.
Heat it up. Put it on some pasta. That's for you. But, you know, don't let it go to waste because that's fucking.
No, I'm going to put that on some
pasta.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I wish I knew how to cook pasta. I make it. I don't know how to work that stove.
No, just boil the fucking. You know, boil the water.
I just don't know how to use this fucking stove.
Well, what kind of stove?
I don't fucking know. How do you have to click it?
Can't light it?
Nah, she does it. I don't fucking know.
You got to get a good stove. You got a good stove?
I got a great stove. I just don't know what the fuck it is. You know me, though.
Yeah, well, let your wife do it.
Yeah, I'll tell her. I'll say, honey, make some spaghetti if you don't mind.
What did you think about the fights the other night?
That the fights were fucking, they were good.
Yeah, Woodley had a bad night, huh?
Yeah, they gave him that Aldo dust.
Yeah.
And he fucking,
What the fucking, the other guy, Benny, when he got the guy in the head, he can wrestle,
that
huh?
Was Ben Askren. That
the
was
great. Fucking Ben Askren can wrestle, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this, if they're going to make them fight again or not.
Yeah.
There were some really good fights in the card, but I'm not that much into it that much anymore.
You're losing your taste for it?
Nah. $65 fucking dollars. Go rob somebody else.
Look at
this poor bastard. I want to thank Nick Totoro. Good luck with the podcast. Keep us posted.
We'll do.
I want to thank you guys. I want to thank the Flying Jew, the Christ Killer, but most importantly, you guys that listen to the podcast and the church family for supporting us and following us every week. Like I told you, I'm going to be in Houston. It's all sold out. Buffalo sold out. And Pittsburgh, April 4th through the 6th. That's all I got for you right now. What I do want to do is, the church is brought to you by, listen, you know how hard it is to find a good employee for a company? Thank God I got Lee, but a lot of people, whether your business is small or a big business, it's hard to find qualified candidates. It takes a long time, too many applicants, but there's an easier way, ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place, like I said, that you could go that makes hiring simple. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/church. Listen, ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. You understand me? One day, ZipRecruiter. What I'm going to do right now is this. The family, the church family, gets to try ZipRecruiter for free. Gratis. Ugats. Nothing. I don't care if you have a little donut shop. I don't care if you have a big mechanic. I don't care if you have a payment company of 600 employees. Listen, ZipRecruiter is the way to go for you. So what I'm going to do is the church gets exclusive. That's it. Go to ZipRecruiter for free. It's free right now. ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. C-H-U-R-C-H. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church. C-H-U-R-C-H. I'm going to get you the best thing you've done in your whole life as far as your business is concerned. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. The church is also brought to you by Robinhood. Listen, while other brokers should charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get the party started, so you can start investing at any level. That simple. Intuitive design of Robinhood makes the investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. It's that simple. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Listen, in 4 taps, you can place a trade on your smartphone. You can also look at view stock collections such as the 100 most popular, who's owned by a woman, that type of stuff. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. I got 2 people. My wife is on Robinhood, and my friend from the 6th grade in McKinley School in North Bergen says he loves Robinhood ever since he listened to him and he went on Robinhood because he's been investing for years. And this guy loves Robinhood. So Robinhood is giving the listeners of the Church of What's Happening Now a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Did you listen to what I'm saying to you? With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest as you build a portfolio. So right now, I want you to do me a favor because Robinhood is giving all of you a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at church.robinhood.com. Sign up at church.robinhood.com. Kick this fucking muley. Stay black. Have a great weekend. See you tonight at the show, 8 o'clock, motherfuckers. Stay black.
Life's the same, you're shaking like tremolo.